This is chapter 15, one of many verses we're going to look at. I want to title this, Making the Past and the Future Pay for the Present. I pray that these thoughts and this sermon this evening will be the kind that will be a blessing to you down the road. Oftentimes you find yourself meditating. You may have spare time. I pray that when you do find you have time to meditate, you're meditating on the things of God. And my heart is it's come to a good matter, David said. Making the past and the future pay for the present. I've never preached anything like this. We may be so confused when I'm done, but I pray God will somehow bring a blessing to it. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16, I want to talk about looking at prophecies that are locked in, that cannot and will not change. There are such prophecies in the Bible. I don't put them in the category where God changed his mind, as in the case of Hezekiah, or as in the case where Jesus taught us to pray, and the woman with the unjust judge, and the judge changed his mind. There are prophecies that cannot and will not change. Some things can change. Making the past pay and the future pay for the present. What do I mean by that? In Ecclesiastes, it says that we are creatures. Unlike any other creature God made, he has set eternity in our heart. I don't understand totally what that means. But I know we're eternal creatures. And he has set eternity in our heart. We're going to live forever. In Genesis 15, 16, here is one of these prophecies. We're going to look about four or five of them that are locked in. They are not going to change. They will happen. And one of them is when God came to Abraham. He let him know that he was going to, in verse 13... of Genesis, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety, this is so sure, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. This perhaps is even before Abram has had Isaac. But he says that your descendants, your seed, is going to be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. This did happen. And they shall afflict them 400 years. That was when the children of Israel were in Egypt. God raised up Moses. But during the time God raised up Moses, we know that the Israelites were being afflicted by the Egyptians. And God was saying what was going to happen in the future. Nothing's going to change this. And he said, also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And Israel did. They went and borrowed probably back wages from what they were entitled to for their servanthood to the Egyptians. And when they left, they did leave with great substance. When God said this, it's going to happen. Nothing is going to change it. It is what we call locked in. Here's another one in the book of Daniel. Daniel, this prophet, sees, a king saw, and he is to interpret what the king saw. Daniel also saw it, perhaps in a different form and symbolism. But the vision that Daniel was interpreting was this big image, and we know that that image was prophetic in nature, that at the time Babylon, who Daniel was held captive for, was the head piece on the vision. And it was a head of gold. And then, as he saw this image, then the next one was representing a kingdom that would come after the Babylonian Empire. That was the Medes and the Persians. And then he saw as the lower you got, then it was the Greeks. And then finally, the last empire was the Roman Empire, was at the time of Christ, when Rome and Caesar. And he saw in that vision a stone, and that stone smashed that image, and that was a prophetic prophecy that Christ would begin his kingdom, and he did. He began to preach the kingdom of God has come, and Jesus. But when this king saw this prophetic thing, it was locked in. It was going to happen. Nothing was going to keep that from happening. It's like it's already happened. It's just playing itself out. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, you are going to deny me 3 times. That's a hard one to understand. I don't believe that he said to Peter that you're going to deny me so Peter could go out and get James and John, come lay hands on me. I was told I'd deny the Lord. I don't want to deny the Lord. To me, it was locked in. It's going to happen. He said it would. And it did. When Paul wrote Timothy and said what we read in the book of Timothy, that in the last days perilous times will come, I believe that prophecy was locked in. We're seeing it being carried out now. And then you come to the book of Revelation, that John on the island of Patmos at 90 to 100 years of age, thereabouts, where John, if you go to Revelation chapter 5, here's what John saw, even past our time, down the road, that what he saw is locked in. It is going to happen. Nothing will prevent, as these other prophecies were foretold. Nothing will prevent what John saw. Well, what did he see? He saw in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sung a new song. This is going to happen. I want to be there, don't you? I plan on being there. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood." I'm looking forward to being there on that day and poking the fellow next to me and saying, "You know what? I preached this would happen, and now I'm getting to watch it happen." I believe that's going to happen. It's locked in. I'm not saying my part, but I'm planning on being there. And he said, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And then we come to verse 11. "And I beheld," and here's what he's saying. And this is yet down the road even for us. We can look at it almost, even though we're closer to it than John was. The reality of it is just as real as it was to John. This is locked in. This will happen. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And verse 12, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him.'" I don't know if they're going to sing it the way we sing it. We have a song. I don't know if it's going to be that way, but we will be singing this. "Under the Lamb forever and ever." Then chapter 6. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" This is going to happen. It's locked in. Nothing will change it. In one sense of the word, if you allow me to say, it's as though it's already happened. Although it hasn't happened, they saw it happen. Some are going to say on that day, I knew this would happen. I was watching the World Series. Maybe it was game two. And during the game, maybe it was yesterday, I don't remember. The camera went into the crowd and I saw the Pawn Star, the guy that does, you know, takes in items used. And I saw a woman next to him and I thought, oh, that's his wife. I've never seen his wife. And how many have got your TV thing where you can go back and replay what you just saw? And so when I went back to see, to lock in his wife, I guess it's his wife, and I said to my wife, honey, I want you to see his wife. And we're always trying to figure out if he married up or if she married up. And so, but during that, while I'm going back, there was a play that was done. And so when I'm replaying it, I knew exactly what was going to happen in the play because it had already happened. And I found that very interesting. I used to have a kid in my church, in White Salmon, I've shared with you, named Rowdy. He just found me on Facebook here a while back, and he was I was reminding him, and he reminded me I had a dish and I could see the games. We on the West Coast would see him in an hour delay back in those days. And I would tell Rowdy, I said, I know who's going to win. And I did, because I already watched it. And I'd bet him a roll of nickels. And I'd sometimes tell him, in fact, I think this is going to happen in the game. And it had happened. He said, well, how'd you know that? And finally my conscience got the better of me. And I said, I owe you $6. But I had already watched it. It was as though it was just playing out. And I don't understand all of this. I don't claim to. But it's those are things that are locked in. They will not change. On the other hand, he did tell, Isaiah told the king, you're going to die. That apparently wasn't locked in. And Hezekiah didn't like the news, turned his face to the wall and wept. And God said, Isaiah, go back and tell the king I'm going to grant 15 years unto his life. That is on the same thought of when God sent Jonah to Nineveh and 40 days and then judgment. And yet, God changed his mind because they repented. That was not locked in. Those two things were not locked in. But these things are locked in. And yet, when I read Revelation, and I see what is going to happen, some of us, if we have any sense of mind and any memory, we're going to say, wow, it's like I knew this would happen. And sometimes the gift, and because God is omniscient, that is the God that we serve. He's omniscient. I love meditating on this stuff. And because God is omniscient and he feels all time, that is beyond my understanding, but as best I can, I do know that the Holy Spirit is able to see into the past, and the Holy Spirit is able to see into the future. When Jesus said to Philip or Nathanael, when Philip brought Nathanael, he said, Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. Perhaps, and he knew, well, you saw that. That had happened in the past. I remember I was invited to a place in Hawaii, and this missionary, or not a missionary, but the people that were head of this organization, we were out at dinner, and right while we were having dinner, the Lord spoke to me that you have a missionary that has just come into a lot of money, and he's very excited what he's going to be able to do for the kingdom of God. And I shared that with them, and they looked at each other and said, "Do you know that just today before we came here, we received a call from our missionary?" And our missionary was thrilled. Someone had donated $50,000. That was the Holy Spirit going into the past. But not only can the Holy Spirit go into the past, the Holy Spirit, because God is omniscient, can go into the future and see things. And these things are locked in my biblical understanding. I remember, and that is what prophecy is. That is what John is doing when he is being led by the Holy Spirit to see into the future. The Holy Spirit can go into the past. The Holy Spirit can deal with the present. And the Holy Spirit can go into the future. And that is what that word of knowledge can do. It can see in the future. That's when Jesus could look into the future and tell Peter he would deny him. And he could also tell Peter that when you were young, you went about as you would, but I see you when you're older, Peter. And he spoke of his death. And it is absolutely astounding that we see that God can look into the future. I said all that to say this. We're in the present. We don't have that ability to go into the past, but we do, in some sense of the word. And I don't mean by the Holy Spirit, but we can go into the past and we can borrow from the past to bring joy to the present. And what do I mean by that? We can go back to Calvary and I can look back 2,000 years ago and see what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and it can bring me joy today. And I can go back and see the work that was done on the cross and know that when he said it is finished, that my sins are forgiven and they are buried in the sea of forgetfulness. That completed the transaction with justice. And so here's what you can do. You can borrow from the past in the way that I am hopefully trying to bring about, though poorly so, and let it pay for your present. Because at times when the enemy can come, and he can come, and he can begin to bring condemnation, and he can do this, we can simply reach back into the past of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and allow that to bring a blessing to me right now. And so let the past bring a blessing to you for the present. How many know that you have been acquainted with discouragement at times? We can be acquainted with David said, "O soul, why art thou cast down? Hope in God." Where are you going, David? When he said hope in God, David was reaching into the future. He's reaching into the future. You know how we can reach into the future? I can read what he said would happen in the future, and it brings joy to me now in the present. When Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I go to prepare," that's future, "a place for you." And so often during the day, I love to go into the past to bring me joy for the present, and I love to go into the future to bring me joy for the present. I love to think about the time when, and I've often mentioned this, when I will be with my many loved ones, some that are gone, and they will be those. And I love to look forward to that day and grab from it. It's mine. It's yours. That's how we're eternal creatures. We don't feel eternity like God does, but I can, to the point and the level that I have, reach into the future. And there's much you can reach into the future that's called hope. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But hope is something for the future. And so I'm simply saying, in your times of meditation, and in your times when you think about the greatness of God, may you look into the future and see that day when there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow. And sometimes I can imagine as though it's even now. And sometimes just as you can watch a thing that's recorded, I get amazed at myself. I can watch I know a scary movie, and for some reason I know the scene that's going to come up, And even though I know it's going to come up, it still scares me again the second time and the third time. I think, boy, even though I knew it was coming, it blessed or scared me. You know, I pray that we'll take that same brain and allow it to work for you for the good. Look into the future. You have a great future ahead of you. You really do. And much of our present joy is from the past and from the future. If you don't need the past and the future, then enjoy the present. But most of us need the past and the future to make it good for the present. I've got you so twisted upside down and around that I'm going to quit. Would you stand? But it is amazing how we can record something, and when you watch it, we know it's already happened. And yet, when John saw this, in God's eyes, already happened. Hadn't happened to us. Or he knows it. It fills all time. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You've made us, Lord, and have set eternity in our heart. We have the ability that you have made us so we can look to the past and find such glorious joy for now and the present. We can look to the future and we can see such wonderful promises and things that will happen. They're locked in. I just pray I be locked in with them. And that, Lord, I be in that number as we sing. When I be in that number, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Oh God, may this be food that we will take with us and throughout the week as your people, as they think of you. I pray we'll allow the past and the future to bless them and bless us in the present. We are so blessed. We have so much going for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.